Y'all have a great Thanksgiving. I'll tell you what. That's one, the thing about Thanksgiving, it's not a one-day event. I think Thanksgiving really serves as a reminder of how we're supposed to live our life on a daily basis. It would be kind of sad if all of a sudden we got grateful for 24 hours and then all of a sudden went back to selfish ways and not caring about people. And so here's the thing, and I know y'all know this, but I'm just saying, I think we need to be reminded. I think a holiday like that really gets us ready for Christmas, to where we really appreciate what Christmas is all about, because Jesus is the reason for the season. Amen. So I'm especially like the Thanksgiving holidays, because that was the time that I made Jesus the Lord of my life. It was during that November season. I remember it was right around Thanksgiving, and so this time of year is always special to me. I thank God for people that have bulldog faith. I thank God for people that are willing to hear no a bunch of times. I thank people who will not back up, who will not give in, willing to face adversity and just not give up. Because that's what happened to the person that was trying to lead me to the Lord. Y'all know my story. You know Mary Class. She was a secretary at the college when I was, you know, coaching baseball out there many years ago, and she just kept inviting me. And I kept saying no, and she kept inviting me, and I kept saying no. And finally, I just gave in, came out, heard the gospel preached for the first time, heard the preacher say, if your life's not right with God, raise your hand. And the ball player I brought with me, I gave him an elbow, said, get your hand up, your life ain't right either. Y'all know the story. You can tell it better than I can. But I thank God. I thank God for those days. I thank God for all the people that have invested in my life. I thank God for all the teachers. I remember, you know, Miss Dillis, when I got saved, she's one of the first teachers that I sat under as a new convert. And I thank God for I took a class from her in the summer, and it was because she made us memorize scriptures, and not just memorize the Amplified. That's not right. You know, when someone puts memorize the Amplified Bible. I remember one of the scriptures she made us memorize, God is able to make all grace abound towards you so that you may always, under all circumstances, no matter what the need, be self-sufficient, possessing enough to require no aid or support, and being furnished in abundance for every good and charitable donation. Now, that was something I memorized over 30 years ago and still retained it, praise God. That was the only one I can remember from that class. But anyway, that was a good one. I thank God, and I thank God. You know, I want you to turn your Bibles to Genesis chapter 1. You know, Gina asked me what I was going to minister on today, and I told her it was going to be Thanksgiving, but Thanksgiving's over. No, she didn't say that. I'm saying that now. But Thanksgiving, it's not over. Amen? And so I just, and when I told her that, boy, she started talking about this thing on Thanksgiving that was really, I'm not going to go into it. I'm going to let her do it maybe next time on Wednesday or something like that. But it was really powerful concerning the actual power that there is in giving thanks. And I would not do a good job trying to explain it, so I'm going to leave that for next time that she's with you. But in Genesis chapter 1, I want to go to Genesis 1 because I don't want to leave anything out today. See, my wife got that joke. Nobody else got it. Okay, so Genesis chapter 1. And it says in verse 26, and God said, let us make man in our image after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over the cattle and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. And God blessed them, and God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. And God said, behold, I have given you every herb-bearing seed which is upon the face of all the earth, and every tree in which is the fruit of a tree yielding seed, to you it shall be for meat." I want to stop there. I just want to just bring to our attention and remind us today that the first two gifts that really God gave man, he gave him the gift of authority and dominion, but he also gave him the gift of the seed. And as before we even go into what I want to minister on today, I want us to really to maybe just think back and as a reminder, the power that there is in the seed. You know, in Timothy it says, "Be not deceived, God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man sows, that shall he also reap." So often we use that in a negative sense. Oh, you reap what you sow. But here's the thing, the seed of the word of God or the seed that we receive in our life, all these things, if we learn how to steward our moments in God correctly, he'll bring great increase into our life. So that's it's very important not to abort the seed. It's very important not to short circuit our miracle. It's very important that the things that we receive, how many know that sometimes God answers prayer in seed form rather than all of a sudden breakthrough? Amen? So we take things and sometimes, you know, for instance, someone may have something wrong in their body where their shoulder, they can't even lift their shoulder and they get prayed for it, and then they, all of a sudden they can lift their shoulder this high. Some people say, well, I can't lift it all the way. I guess I wouldn't heal. No, you are healed. You just need to receive the seed of that healing right there and build on that and nurture it and protect it. Because God did touch your body. You weren't able to do something a minute ago and now you are. And so it's very important we don't short circuit our miracles and realize that there's power in the seed and that God sometimes answers things like this, but sometimes the prayers come in seed form. And I was just when I was looking at that scripture right there, I got to thinking about when we first started the church. You know, one of our first anniversaries, what we did is we handed out acorns. And the theme was being oak trees of God, you know, growing into great oaks. And we gave people acorns, and I think we painted them gold and gave them out to everybody to keep and to really walk around with them in your pocket if you have to, as a reminder that the oak tree is in the acorn. All the properties of a great and mighty oak are in that little acorn. So we gave them just as a little cute little reminder. But I want to tell you something. I ran into a man years later, didn't even go to our church. He just happened to be there at that meeting, and he got an acorn. And this must have been, I don't know how, it was 10 years later. I saw him out and about. He walks up to me, and he pulled that acorn out of his pocket. He says, "Pastor John, I still got my acorn." I ran into the same man a week ago. Another 10 years later. I didn't tell you this. But I saw he was in a Denny's. I was having breakfast with my son. And I saw him across the way. I said, "Hey, you still got your acorn?" He goes, "Pastor John, I don't have it on me, but it's on my dresser at home. I still got it sitting on my dresser." So I just thought there are certain things we need to hold on to as reminders that God's at work. Amen. And his word does not return void and accomplishes that which he pleases. And it prospers the thing whereto it's sent. The seed of the word of God is being sent today. And when you receive the word of God with thanksgiving, and you receive the word of God, I'm going to tell you something. You watch what it's going to produce in your life. Amen? So it's very important that we don't negate our seed. It's very important that we hold fast our profession of faith in everything. It's very important to maintain that heart of thanksgiving. Amen? You know, that scripture I keep bringing up lately is in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, where Paul instructs us, because rejoice evermore, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. You know, for years we taught at a Bible school up in Columbus, Texas. We were the pastors over the staff there, and we taught in the Bible school, Texas Bible Institute. And we'd have students come in from all over the country. We had students coming in there trying to get their life right. some of them needing to be delivered from certain things, some of them just seeking direction for their life, some of them just graduated high school. They wanted to take a year to sit under the Word and get some direction for their life, and that's a good thing. It's a real good thing. I mean, it's one of the major prayers, I think, probably of everybody in here. Lord, what do you want me to do with my life? Amen? Some people struggle with it. Some people think that God's going to send them someplace that they actually hate. I'm going to tell you something. God, he don't work that way. You know, he fulfills the desires of your heart. As you delight yourself in the Lord, he gives you the desires of your heart. So as you delight yourself in him, he not only places the desires in there, but he causes them to come to pass. So sometimes we worry and we fret over things that really we shouldn't worry or fret over. Amen? So a lot of people, that may be the main point of, you know, God, what do you want me to do? I'm not so sure that this scripture right here is probably more of what he had in mind than just seeking particular direction for what our vocation is or something like that. What if, let me just throw this out to you for your consideration. What if we rejoice without ceasing, we rejoice evermore, pray without ceasing, and in everything give thanks, because it says, this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Do you think that maybe by doing those things and just embracing that and giving into that as a lifestyle, that we would absolutely walk into what God wants for our life as a byproduct of this embracing these three things? I'm going to tell you something. It doesn't give us much wiggle room for free time. It says, rejoice evermore, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks. Where's my pity party time? Where's my worry time? Where's my fretting time? All of a sudden our life is occupied in the awareness and the presence of God to where fear just goes out the window. And all of a sudden we're not, and the things that maybe were, you know, I said this Wednesday night, I'll say it again. There's a term I've used over the years, and there's an element of truth in what I'm going to say. It says, I may not be where I want to be, but at least I'm not where I used to be. You know, I'm good with that. But I started thinking, God started getting me to just recalibrate that a little bit. If we're not careful, we can take that situation right there, and we may be in a rut and say, yeah, I may be in a rut, but look where I came from. I was really bad. Y'all thinking, you know, I may not be where I want to be, but at least I'm not where I used to be. So that may give us a little license to live a substandard or inferior life right now. Oh, don't shout me down just because I'm preaching real good. Amen. So I'm not going to say that I completely abandoned that, because there is an element of truth in that. So I said, you know, that would cause us to focus on, yeah, you know, it's great to go back and where God has brought you from. But what about we start giving thanks to where God's bringing us into in the future? What if we start thanking him in advance of what he has planned for us in the days ahead? What if we, like Gina was talking about, grabbing the redemptive power in our family and just taking control of that and giving thanks? I thank God that son or that daughter or that husband or that wife, I thank God that they're walking in the fullness of God, because the word says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved and thy household. So I just want to thank you, Lord God, for things you're going to continue to do in my life. Not just the things that you've brought me through, not just the, you know, we were all rascals at one time that God got a hold of our life. But you know what? Life goes on and we keep growing and we keep. But here's the thing about rejoicing evermore, praying without ceasing and giving thanks in everything. You know what that enables us to do? That enables us, as we discipline our life to give into these responses, to no matter what comes our way, it produces the character in our life that's able to maintain the weightiness of God's glory when he pours it out on us. Amen? Because it's very important that we're able to contain and to hold up and not have these fractures in our thinking and these fractures in our emotions. So when stuff comes at us and adversity comes our way, and Jesus said, in this world, you're going to have tribulation. Hey, but be of good cheer. I've overcome the world for you. So when we learn to condition our responses, that goes beyond the limitations of our emotions. When you're able to respond beyond the limit, beyond the limitations of the emotions you have, you know what happens? Your emotions start lining up with what you want to do in God. But I don't feel like it. I know. That's why it's a choice. I don't feel it. I don't feel like it. How many of you ever had to do things you didn't feel like? You know, I think that's why it's a commandment. Because some of these things we don't do naturally. We do it because it's a commandment, and every good gift from God comes down from heaven, and it's to make us a success in life, and it brings us into an invitation of relationship with Him. And so when these gifts are given to us, and then we respond properly to the Word of God, and we respond properly to the giftings of God, then all of a sudden we got this character-building thing going on in us to where when stuff comes, all of a sudden, hey, I ain't going to bed for 3 days no more. Those days are over. I ain't doing that no more. I'm not self-medicating anymore because of stuff that comes my way. Amen. Why? Because we take the power of God, that when we make decisions concerning these things like rejoicing and praying and giving thanks, it attracts everything in heaven towards our life. That's just a fact. It attracts everything in heaven towards the life that we're living right now. It brings it into our workplace. It brings it into our relationships. It brings it into our family situations, to where we learn to give thanks in everything. Heard someone say one time, he's really tested like this when he's driving. Said all of a sudden someone would be on his bumper, and they pull out and pull ahead of him, and then they pull out ahead and get in front of him and then slow down. There ain't nothing right about that. Amen? And I'm sure you all have your own little things that, you know, just really cause you to get off into the inferior. But when we start doing this by faith, and we start doing this stuff on purpose, and we rejoice evermore, and in everything give thanks. You know, prepositions are big, because someone will take that and they'll say, well, for everything give thanks. It's not what it says. You can't give thanks for something. It says every good and perfect gift comes from above, from the Father of lights. Okay? God doesn't know how to give not good gifts. So He gives good gifts. Some people, through because we've been, sometimes some of us have been taught in religious circles that God's doing this to teach us a lesson or to build character in our life. That's not what the Word says. So even though stuff may come, and in this world we have tribulation, we don't give thanks for it because God wasn't the author of it. But in everything, that's different. I think that's why I learned my seventh grade prepositions, because I knew they would come in handy for such a time as this. You all have heard my preposition list, haven't you? About, above, across, after, against, among, against, among, around, at, before, beside, between, beyond, by, down, during, except, for, from, in, into, near, over, on, past, throughout, to, toward, under, until, up, with. Y'all know them, right? It's the only thing I ever remember from seventh grade. Only thing. And I just said, why did I just remember that preposition list? It may be because prepositions are a big thing, because if you read Paul's epistles, and when you talk about who you are in Christ, in Him, through Him, by Him, for Him, prepositions become a big deal. Amen? So, every few years I throw that one out just to show that I got a little bit of schooling somewhere. Amen? But it says, in everything give thanks, because God has the way out. In everything give thanks, For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning me and concerning you. Can you imagine a group of believers that refuse to give in to complaining and murmuring? It's impossible. It's whenever we give into that complaining and murmuring, we give ourselves into the fact that we think more about our problems than we do about the goodness of God in our life. And we can spend time, and it may even give us some type of emotional release by just venting stuff up. But as far as venting stuff out, but as far as it producing something, what does it produce? So every once in a while we do it, and then we catch ourselves. Every once in a while we have, pity parties. I used to say they're okay, just don't invite anybody to them. I've had many pity parties over in my life. And usually Gina was the only one that I would invite to them, and I would be able to vent, and then, okay, I got that out, and she would listen. And so I would like to think that those pity parties getting less and less the older I get in the things of God. Amen. And they have been, But the thing about it is, when we embrace this and we make these disciplined decisions in our life, that, you know what? I'm going to rejoice. I'm going to rejoice. You know why? Because you become like the one that you're looking at. When you come into a place like today and you have a group of believers praising and worshiping God, it says, therefore, let the fruit of our lips giving thanks, praising God. The word has a lot to say about thanksgiving. Remember when Jesus healed the 10 lepers, and he sent them on their way, and they got healed, and only one came back to give glory to God. And Jesus said, weren't the 9 others healed? Where are they? There was something that Jesus expected out of all 10 of those lepers. Only one out of 10 came back to give glory to God. And he said, go, your faith has made you whole. So obviously, there's a difference between healing and wholeness. That guy that came back to give glory to God received something else that the others didn't. There was a wholeness that he received by coming back and giving glory to God. It's something that's expected of us. Really, it's something that in our life we really don't have an option. And so one of the things I had down in my notes as far as Thanksgiving, it carries an attitude of humility. Thanksgiving is the only proper way of receiving what he has given us, because it honors our relationship with him by expressing trust in his goodness. It honors our relationship with him because we express trust in his goodness. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will direct your path. There's a confidence that comes with that. There's a confidence that comes with that. But there's a humility attached to that that realizes, hey, I realize that in my flesh dwells no good thing. Any goodness comes from God, and he gets all the credit, and he gets all the honor, and he gets all the glory. Amen? Is that helping anybody today? The being thankful also, it keeps you from going into a dark place. Turn to Romans chapter 1, if you will. Romans chapter 1. I want to read something to you out of here. Verse 21, for even though they knew God as the creator, they did not honor him as God or give thanks for his wondrous creation. On the contrary, they became worthless in their thinking, godless with pointless reasonings and silly speculations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Claiming to be wise, they became fools and exchanged the glory and majesty and excellence of the immortal God for an image, worthless idols, in the shape of mortal men and birds and four-footed animals and reptiles. Therefore, God gave them over in the lust to their own hearts to sexual impurity so that their bodies would be dishonored among them, abandoning them to the degrading power of sin because by choice they exchanged the truth of God for a lie and worshiped and served the creature rather than the creator who is blessed forever. That's really gives a really just in a nutshell about the what happened after the fall of man and how actually he just fell into a depraved state, a state of almost insanity. And one of the things is because they were not thankful, it says their minds became darkened and their thinking became futile. Your translation probably says futile thinking. It means purposelessness. It means you lose sight of the purpose of God for your life. And as a result of that, it's a darkened heart. A darkened heart, I have written down in my notes, can't receive spiritual reality. In other words, the pilot light is not lit. And where does it really come from, the root of it? If it comes from just being ungrateful and unthankful. You know, in 2 Timothy chapter 3, it says, in the last days, perilous times are going to come. And then it lists all the different things. People are going to be disobedient to parents, unthankful, fierce, traitors, heady, high-minded. All of these things that sound horrible. And it says that some will have a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. So it tells me this is something that's talking about the church. This is something that can creep into the church. And I thank God that we have a heads up that we don't have to accept that. But one of the things there it says, going to be unthankful, you know, disobedient to parents. You know, as a youth pastor years ago, when we were trying to train up young people, one of the things, you know, we had a leadership class in our youth that the ones that wanted to go through it went through, and it became peer pressure in a positive way. Because the class, everyone wanted to get in. And it wasn't like we were reaching, trying to find kids to go through this leadership class. It became the cool thing to do. And kids would want to get in. But I'll tell you something, we put some things on that class and some responsibilities on those young people. And we told them, hey, you know, helping out around the church and being faithful in the youth group is one thing. But we're going to be asking your parents how things are going at home. Because this goes beyond just what you're doing at church. And we've had this one young man who I saw their parents one day and said, oh, your son's doing so great. He's the first to come to church, last to leave. He's always helping set up things. He goes, well, Pastor, that's great. I wish he'd do some of that at home. I said, what's up? He said, Pastor, he won't listen to a thing. He's disrespectful. Talk back to us. Oh, I'll handle that. Don't worry about it. So I sit down, let's call him Johnny for whatever. Hey, Johnny, what's up? What's going on at home? I said, you know, here's the thing. You can't live here one way and then go at home and live. You're gonna be example everywhere you go. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. So we got things straightened up and all that, and all that. But I think that's one of the things that as leaders, that it's incumbent upon us to put that into young people, put demands on them, make them be in submission to the authority of God's place in your life. And one of the things we always used to do when we go on youth trips, we would instruct all those kids, when you get off the bus, I want you to say thank you to all of the leaders that went on the trip with you, that gave up their vacation time, parents that came to be sponsors and took their time out of there. And so those kids, they just learned. You know, it's, you know, come on now. You know, when you're a parent, you got a little child, someone gives a little child a cookie, and you say, what do you say? Thank you. Okay, why? Because you're training a child up in the way that he should go, and when they're old, hopefully they won't depart from it. It shows you're a good parent. You know what? God's a good parent. He's trying to show us, be thankful. In everything, give thanks, because this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Amen. And so I just think sometimes it's even crept into the church, and I see it in our society. We can see it, how people, they're not grateful. They're not thankful for things. But you take a body of believers to wherever they go. And here's the thing about that. We see here that it can darken your heart if you're not thankful. That's what the word says. Now I forgot what my next point's going to be. Let me see. It'll keep your prayer life in focus. You remember in Timothy, it says, first of all, supplications, prayers, giving of thanks be made for all men and people in positions of authority, that we might lead a quiet and a peaceable life with all godliness. Amen. In Philippians, it says, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Here's the thing. I really believe our blessing list or thankful list should exceed our need list. Some people, if it wasn't for their problems, they wouldn't have a prayer life. Amen? And here's why this is important. Because if you're just praying from a need list, you can have a tendency to pray out of a hole rather than praying from heaven and praying from a place of authority. Amen? So I think it's very important that we develop not just the needs and the petitions that are part of our life, but you develop a blessing list. And we develop those things that we're thankful for. And we keep, in the book of Nehemiah in chapter 11, they were giving jobs out to the certain people in Jerusalem for what they were supposed to do. One of the jobs was prayer and thanksgiving. Someone was responsible for prayer and thanksgiving. In other words, I guess they brought a list. I got this list they gave me. I'm supposed to be thankful for these things. So I'm thankful. I'm going to pray to God. It sounds almost robotic, but what if we just decided, hey, you know what? I'm going to adapt that as a lifestyle for me. I'm going to go after prayer, not just praying for all these needs and praying out of a hole, but now I pray out of authority because I'm more aware of the blessing of God than I am about the needs in my own life. Thank you, honey. My wife said that was good. Amen. So, y'all know what I'm saying? I just think we need to get back to just rehearsing things that we're thankful for, rehearsing things that God has brought out of us. Use Philemon 6 as the communication of your faith would become effectual, what? By the acknowledging of every good thing that's in you in Christ Jesus. I'm going to tell you something. It's time we start getting on the internet and Google good things that are going on in this world rather than bombarding ourselves and immersing ourselves in every bad news that you could think of on the news. There's a lot of good stuff going on in this world. There's a lot of people being delivered all over this world. There's a lot of people being saved all over this world. There's so many great things going on in this body right here. But you know what? We got to be conscious of that and stay aware of that. We don't want our hearts to get darkened in any way. Is this helping anybody today? That's why I don't know that we can talk enough about a grateful heart. I don't know that we can ever exhaust the importance of having a grateful heart and a thankful heart in everything that we do. It just keeps us fresh before God. It keeps us in that place of faith. It keeps us in that place of expectation. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. When you lose sight of the vision, when you lose sight of the things you're believing for, you have no hope, because faith is the substance of things hoped for, the vision. What are you hoping for? Hold on to it, praise God. Declare it every day. Declare those good things that are already inside you through Christ Jesus. I am the righteousness of God. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I'm the head, I'm not the tail. I am above and I'm not beneath. Everything I put my hand to prospers in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. That's the vocabulary I believe that God wants out of his children. You know, every good and perfect gift, come on now. Let's be honest. There's a lot of people in the church that just roll their eyes at the gifts of God that are being poured out, because they don't fully understand it. I'm going to tell you something. I just want to give you a little warning concerning that, is that if you don't fully understand something, be careful not to give voice to it by saying things out of your mouth that maybe you'll regret later. Amen? You may not understand it. You may not have a full understanding of it. But all you know, there's something that if you allow it, it'll register on the inside of you. Hey, there's a rightness about this. I said this Wednesday, you know the thing about repenting? Repenting shows us that we're in a place of wrongness. And I'm willing to replace my wrongness with God's rightness any day of the week. How about you? Because that's the whole thing about a renewed mind. A renewed mind brings things to the surface. And you know what? God's not afraid of bringing stuff up to the surface. You know? You may even, you know, you hear a message and all of a sudden, oh man, I've been so arrogant. And God says, yeah, you have been. Sure, you've been arrogant. Hey, but you know what? We're going to bring this stuff to the surface. It may sting a little bit right now, but I'm going to give you the grace that you can overpower this to where you don't have to walk in bondage to it anymore. You see, the correction of God is not to blame or shame you. The whole purpose of bringing correction in our life when things are brought to the surface, because my grace is sufficient. I'm going to pour out a grace in your life that's not going to allow you to stay in bondage to this thing that just was brought to the surface. Y'all following that? Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So I'm just, as far as myself, I want to walk in this. I feel like I'm walking in it to a certain degree. I hope you are. But there's always, I want to go deeper in this as far as being so totally aware of rejoicing evermore, to pray without ceasing. In everything, give thanks, because I want the will of God being established in my life. And when we start doing these things and we start on purpose, starting our day out by just being grateful and being thankful and not dreading, then we'll stop praying from that place of angst, and we'll start praying from that place of authority. Amen. Tell me this is helping somebody today. I think I'm going to close right now. Glory to God. Hallelujah. That's why when we pray for our president and we pray for our politicians and we come from a place where we're being honest in our prayers, because we come from a place of thanksgiving, that we know God's will for them, so we can lift them up with thanksgiving. God, the big picture, you want them saved. The big picture, you want them serving you. Aren't you glad that someone prayed for you? Aren't you glad that when you were a rascal, someone, I think every one of us had someone praying for us when we were out there being rascals. Someone was praying. I know I had someone praying for me, people that didn't know me, praying for that rascal over at the college. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man or a righteous woman avails much. Amen. So we understand the power of the seed. God's word does not return void. We don't have to live in a darkened place or have our hearts become darkened because of ungratefulness. Amen. We can start establishing our blessing list, that our blessing list would get twice as big as our need list. Amen. These are things that if we'll do and embrace them, I'm going to tell you something, your life will start taking on a whole new different meaning. Amen. It's impossible to be a complainer and to be grateful at the same time. So which one do you want in your life? I don't want to complain and lower myself to an inferior lifestyle. I want to say, you know what, God, I'm going to rise above this. I'm not moved by what I see. Amen. I'm not moved by what I feel. I'm moved by the word of God. And your word says it. I'm going to have it in Jesus' name. I'm going to have it. My family's going to have it. My church is going to have it. Our city's going to have it. Our nation's going to have it. Amen. Hallelujah. Prayer team, I want you to come right now. We're going to be closing. Hallelujah. I thank God, like I said earlier, I thank God people took the time to pray for me, took the time to invite me, made the effort to see me come into the kingdom of God. And as we close today, I can't think of a better time of year if you need to get things right with the Lord. The Bible says that today is a day of salvation. Well, Pastor John, I'm going to get my act cleaned up. I'm going to get my ducks in a row. I'm going to tell you something. The blood of Jesus is the only thing that's going to clean your act up. The blood of Jesus is the only thing that's going to get your ducks in a row. There's always stuff to do. Everybody says, well, it's not the right time. It is the right time. There is no promise for tomorrow. So the Bible says today is the day of salvation. If you're in here today and you want to make Jesus the Lord of your life, you can do that this day. The Bible says if you'll confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. You believe in your heart, you confess with your mouth. I knew my life wasn't right with God, and everyone in here, we all know whether our life is right or not. But I'm gonna tell you, Jesus loves you just the way you are, but he loves you enough not to let you stay the way you are. So today's your day. So if that's you, and you're in here today, and you want to make him Lord of your life, these altars are open. These altars are open if you want to come up here and let someone pray for you concerning that. These altars are open if you have any need in your life. Don't leave here without coming up and letting someone agree with you in prayer. Amen? Hallelujah. Well, I say the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Hallelujah. Have a wonderful, wonderful day. We will see you next time.